producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Corey and I have a very special first guest. This lady is arguably the best technician in the world. At least many, many people, including myself, feel that way. Don't mean to belittle any of the regular guests on our show. This gal is just, she is a real, real professional. And virtually everybody in the financial community feels that way. From New York, Louise Yamato. Louise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Al, for that very welcoming introduction.
How about a little introduction from you as to what Louise Yamato is all about?
Well, I mean, we've been in the business for 30 years. It's something that I learned on the job from my mentor, Alan Shaw, when he was in charge of the technical research department at Smith Barney, and I was with him for 25 years. And when he retired, we maintained our number one ranking in the institutional poll for the 4 years we were there until Smith Barney disbanded, or I should say Citigroup disbanded the technical department, and I went independent. So we're trying to provide the same guidance in terms of supply and demand, evidence in the marketplace to get people in at the right time and get people out at the right time.
Now, Louise, let's chat a little bit about the conventional markets right now. We recently have had a little bit of a pullback, but there seems to be this debate out there as to the bulls saying that this is just a bit of a consolidation and we very well could be setting up for another run up. And then there's also the bears that are saying this is the start of a bear market simply because we haven't had a V-shaped recovery from this drop back in mid to late August. Where do you stand on this?
Well, we've been essentially very cautious, and we went out very cautious in the beginning of September, and we had the dip, and you had a little test of the dip, and there are exactly those two camps. Now, the quality of the rally is what's going to be key, but prior to the collapse, we had for months a long-term monthly momentum sell signal in place on all the U.S. indices, which we had not seen, or I should say similar to those which we did see in 2008 and in 2000 prior to the declines. Some of the indices in the U.S. also had a slight warning of that sort, the monthly sell signal in 2011. And some of them had a little bear market decline, and it took about 4 months for the monthly momentum to recover. So those sell signals that we have had on this market currently remain in place. So for the time being, until proven otherwise, these rallies into resistance, which is where price has carried up to this point, is nothing more than a kickback rally. And unless we were to see further strength, you could have a backing and filling between here and the low that we saw around 1900 on the S&P, back and forth for a bit. But nevertheless, until those sell signals go away, we would remain cautious. We think that a lot of what we were looking for as we entered October was the potential for a rally because there were some short-term positive divergences. That means the market came down, but the momentum studies on a shorter-term basis held at a higher low, suggesting that we could get a rally. But the rally has really, for the most part, been in the very depressed names like energy, like materials, which have bounced off their lows. Now, the greater the decline, the longer the need for repair. So we doubt very much that these rallies in energy and materials are going to carry anytime soon to new highs. There's more likely a backing and filling that's going to need to occur. The markets may reflect that as and if they come down again.
Louise, my opinion for a long time regarding the conventional markets, as you call them, the equities markets, I would maintain, and I have maintained for a long time, that one of the reasons that the government is maintaining what a lot of people agree is a very, very large role in the direction of the markets, cheap money, et cetera, for the banks. I would maintain that the reason that that's the case is because our economy really is a house of cards. If you look at fundamental values, fundamental considerations, I guess I should say, the market should not be doing as well as they are doing right now, my opinion. And I would have to say that what the Fed is doing, you know, and a lot of people would throw sticks and stones at me for saying this, is probably a good thing, because we don't want to lose that confidence that I think is keeping us afloat. Do you think I'm nuts?
No, I don't think you're nuts at all. And I think all you have to do is look at the high yield iShares ETF, which is HYG, and you'll see this tremendous 3-year top and a major price breakdown, which suggests that the credit quality is being recognized as not particularly good. And I think that one of the things that comes to the fore first for corporations is the quality of the credit. And a lot of companies have been borrowing money, albeit at very low interest rates, to pay their dividends, to buy back shares. And that may not be the best thing to be doing with their cash.
Well, the underlying health of a lot of these major companies, I would agree with you that buying back shares is not a good way to grow the company and further expand the economies. And I think that looking at the U.S. markets, it's also important to consider what's going on in international markets, because we have seen, I would say, a significant weakness in China recently, and then a little bit further back, the weakness in the euro, which I believe continues. So I think that that is also playing a role in the U.S. markets, that maybe they're not crashing simply because international forces need to find somewhere to put their money, and at least the U.S. market has been a bit more stable than these other ones. What would you say to that?
I think that that's a very real possibility. Money is flowing out of the countries as their currencies depreciate. The EEM, which represents the emerging markets, broke a 4 or 5 year support and is just rallying back into that resistance. So I think it's going to be important to see whether there's another wave of weakness in the emerging markets or not.
When you look at the equity markets around the world, people are looking for a diminishing of strength in the Chinese market in the relatively near future. How do you feel about that?
We don't follow the economics at all, but you certainly had a parabolic rise as there was an encouragement for people to go into the Chinese market. I mean, my good grief, it went from 2,000 to 5,000 in no time, in a matter of 6 months. And that certainly was a very steep ascent and happened much too quickly, very much like what happened in 1999 with the technology names. And you would expect that a parabolic like that would retrace. So it's come all the way back to 3,000. Little rally, I'd say if it comes under 3,000, there's more to unwind.
Do you follow the volatility index at all, especially the VIX, following what goes on in the S&P? We've had a few comments about how some of our technical traders are looking for the VIX to increase again, which does show a lack of confidence in the general markets. What are your comments here?
Well, the VIX is something that we look at much longer term than the traders, I think. And we have found that a VIX over the price of 20 generally signifies an unsettled market environment. So now it's back below 20 because we're having a nice rally. If we're going to be correct on the extension of a negative market profile or decline, said in another way, then we would anticipate that the VIX will probably rise above 20 again. If we're going to be wrong and we find the long-term signals reverse themselves over the weeks and months ahead, then it should stay below 20 and just vacillate up and down. But that's something that we look at from a longer-term perspective because, for instance, from 2012 to 2000 and late 14, early 15, when we started to see the topping process, it was very calm. easily between, you know, 10 and 20.
Okay, we're going to be right back with Louise Yamada.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I'm the president of the largest private news and research network in the world. And I paid for this airtime because I have an important message to the American people. There's a change coming that the government isn't telling you about. This change has deep implications for life in America. From where you shop, to the doctors you visit, and the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. Thing is, I was right then, too. A few years ago, I warned that housing prices would collapse. They did. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash. They did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all.
You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Alrighty, welcome back. Continuing with Louise Yamada. Louise, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in a couple of other sectors, specifically gold and the energy sector. Let's start with gold. What are your views on that?
Well, we've been negative on gold for quite a while, probably since the breakdown under 1550 or 1540 back in 2013. You had had the rally to 1900, you had a secondary failed rally at 1800, and then finally you broke the support level. And we had targets at 1400, you know, 1250, and we still have outstanding targets at 1000. Whether or not we achieve that, we don't know, but the possibility exists. And every rally that has occurred in late 2013, and the two in 2014, and the two in 2015 have all failed to exceed the prior peaks. So you have a series of arcs in the downtrend. And right now we're seeing another little rally in gold, which is coming up against some resistance at 1200, which was the support that was put in place back in 2013, 2014. Gold has broken the 2005 uptrend, so it is now sort of going sideways underneath that trend, and we'll see. It's conceivable it can get up to the short-term two-year downtrend, which would take it to back toward about 2040, 2045, and take it through the last peak. But until we see that happen, I think that we are at best neutral.
Now, Louise, after this little rally that we have had over the last, let's say, a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that, pretty much through October, people have gotten bullish. And they said, look, we are making higher lows and higher highs, but that's on a very short-term basis. And yes, last week, yes, we did break the 50-week moving average and the 200-day moving average. So that did turn a few more people a bit bullish, but something that you said last segment that really stuck with me is looking at the longer-term charts. When I look at the monthly chart, I struggle to get bullish about this move simply because it just hasn't had enough life for me yet. What would you say?
Oh, I agree with you completely. And back in late 2014, you could have argued higher highs and higher lows as it rallied up to 1200 to 1300. From the 1138 or what have you, went to 1300, but that was a series of higher lows and higher highs, and it went through the 200-day moving average and failed completely. Same thing happened in early 2014, where you went from about 1200 to 1385, and then it failed. These are the peaks that we're discussing that are lower highs, and then finally we put in place a lower low when it went under 1200. In 2014, and then we went a little more under 1200 and under 1100 in 2015. So whether or not this turns out to be a rally that can supersede the prior peak from May is still an outstanding question.
You know, one thing that I'd like to chat about that really isn't necessary, well, it is in a sense an outstanding question right now, but that is the energy sector. And I want to talk about three components, if you would, of the energy sector. One of them, obviously, is oil. The other one is not natural gas, believe it or not, but the potentiality of a resurgence in uranium. And then I would also like to get your views a little bit on what's going on in what I would call the green energy sector. If you don't mind, let's start with oil.
Yeah, we probably will stick with just oil because I don't follow uranium or the green energy sector at all, to be very honest with you. But oil is a very interesting case because it had essentially been in the trading range from 2011 to 2014 between about 80 and 110 or thereabouts. And it was in early, and this is one of the intermarket dynamics that's important to keep an eye on. One of the things that we watch, of course, is the sector work, and we watch it weekly, but we also watch it monthly. And it was in early 2014 that the energy sector of stocks actually saw a relative strength breakdown through a six-year support. And that alerted us to the fact that you had what we would consider a structural breakdown in the relative strength of oil, which should precede a structural break in the price. It's very similar to what we saw in 2007 with the financials when their relative strength broke through a six-year support, and we called for moving away from the financials because they were beginning to underperform. Well, this is what happened with energy in early 2014. So we essentially have been moving away from the stocks for most of the year before the price actually broke below 80. So the bear market that's taken place is down some 66% really in the price of crude. Again suggests, you know, the bigger the top, the bigger the drop, the bigger the drop, the longer the need for repair. We've had a little uptick here, but basically the 1999 to 2001 uptrend for oil was violated early this year. And it's still under that trend and holding under the downtrend that's been in place since 2014 when it started to deteriorate. So at best case scenario, we start to see stabilization maybe between 40 and 55.
Louise, do you think that the oil sector needs what some people say the gold sector needs, and that is a clear out of some of these companies that are either running too high of a debt or just don't have wealth that can seem to produce profitably at these prices?
Well, I think you've seen a lot of the over-indebted oil companies that have gone down some 80%. That tells a tale right there. But I would suggest that obviously with that kind of debt, there are many that probably can't function with this kind of price of oil. I saw an article about the Canadian oil sands that are, I think, having difficulty at these prices. So I think, yes, that's a factor. I also question with the commodities to a certain degree. After the banking crisis, a lot of the banks have eliminated their commodity trading, and the fewer people you have trading this stuff, the less volatile it is. And certainly when we saw the spike up in oil in 2007, 2008, a lot of that had to do with over-leveraging and over-trading. And I wonder whether the more placid behavior of these commodities today doesn't have a lot to do with the fact that we have a lot fewer people trading them.
That is a very interesting comment. And
now, this does kind of tie into, I guess, an overall almost deflation in the commodities sector. A question that we've been asking some of our regular contributors is, will gold and oil move in tandem with each other? Do you think that one may have the ability to break out before the other?
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't really thought of it. What I've noticed more is that they don't necessarily have their relationship to the dollar that they used to have. Just take another look at gold here. And, that's difficult to say. They're both quite depressed in terms of the quantity of percentage down. It may have more to do with international affairs than it does with whether or not they move together.
And there's an interesting point. Louise, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to look forward to maybe getting you back at some point in the near future at your convenience.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com, onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system can have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig,
because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too.
LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Alrighty, welcome back. Keith Neumeyer is with us right now. We're going to talk a little bit about publicly traded silver companies. We're going to talk about what he's doing with First Majestic, etc. Great company, and Keith is certainly a very qualified man to talk about this. First of all, Keith, let's start out talking a little bit about what's going on in the silver sector vis-a-vis the publicly traded companies.
Well, silver's definitely underperformed gold. Silver's gone from, $49 to $16, and, that's a pretty major correction by any measurement. And, gold has gone from 1900 to, 1100, and, both are off their bottoms, and both look like they're base building here. But, the silver stocks have really been hurt. First Majestic has been hurt quite badly as well, and that's due to really the fact that we're so pure silver. We're the purest silver company in the world, as far as I know. Most of our revenue is from the sale of silver, and a lot of the other silver companies have become gold companies, and some of them even have large base metal credits. So some of the peer group, or at least what people would call them as our peer group, have performed better than First Majestic as a result of the purity of First Majestic silver exposure.
Now, Keith, from a producer's standpoint, yes, we hear a lot about, lower silver prices, how that obviously lowers revenues, makes it a bit tougher on the silver companies. But can you give us an idea of how the lower oil and just energy prices overall actually help companies like yours lower some of the input costs?
Well, unfortunately, in Mexico, it has had a limited impact because the oil sector in Mexico is government run. And, you know, there's almost riots in the streets right now, you know, with Mexicans having to pay, you know, $100 equivalent gas prices at the pump, you know, for gasoline for their automobiles, which is absolutely ridiculous. But as of January 1st, 2017, the law changes whereby companies are allowed to import oil from external sources like the United States. So everyone, all the, you know, industry in Mexico is waiting for that to happen, obviously, because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, our cost for oil will drop, you know, substantially. We've got two mines on oil. Santa Elena mine, which we just bought, is running on diesel. The La Encantada has been running on diesel for, you know, ever since we've owned it. But we're actually converting it to natural gas. It'll be switched over in November. So we're looking forward to that because the natural gas will reduce our cost there by about 20%. We expect to switch Santa Elena over to natural gas as well. You know, other things that are affected by oil prices are cyanide costs and other chemical costs, and those have come down substantially. You know, if you go back a few years, cyanide was costing $6 a kilo, and today, you know, we're paying $2.06 or $2.26 a kilo for cyanide, and we're huge cyanide consumers.
So let's just talk about from now until, let's say, mid 2016. Do you see an upturn in the industry?
I've been saying, Al, for the last little while that we've seen the bottom. I think $14.35 on silver and $10.75 or whatever it was, $10.78 was a low on gold, and we're base building here, but I'm not expecting a skyrocket ship either. So I think we've got another year of sideways action and consolidation. You know, it's nice to see some bids coming in, and the sector, you know, looking like it's getting a little bit better. You know, a dollar an ounce for us is huge. You know, we're producing close to 20 million ounces of silver on an annualized basis in 2016. So, you know, for us, a dollar move is a huge amount of cash, and you know, we're getting our costs in line, and you know, we're hoping to see our costs in the $12.50 range on an all-in basis, all-in sustaining basis, that is, for 2016. So, you know, with that $16 silver, you know, we're okay, but you know, we're looking obviously at higher prices over the next couple of years.
Now, Keith, a major driver in markets such as gold and silver, especially those markets, can be acquisitions. And as you mentioned, First Majestic just took over the Santa Elena mine, completed the acquisition, I should say, of Silvercrest. And it was a friendly acquisition. This, to me, is good news for the general industry. It shows that there is, first of all, interest out there in some positive, some very nice properties. We dealt with Silvercrest about a year, year and a half ago, and I know how valuable that mine and their property was. Do you think that the silver industry specifically will start to see an increase in some of this M&A activity?
As you probably know, Corey, you know, the silver mines, these pure silver mines, are pretty rare beasts. You know, most silver comes from byproduct production, you know, from zinc mines and so on. You know, we've got two big zinc mines coming offline this year, as your listeners probably know, which is going to reduce the amount of silver being produced in 2015. But nevertheless, you know, these silver mines are very rare beasts. And then, you know, Santa Elena was great for us because, you know, we have built this business, or I've built this business through acquisitions, taking out assets or companies that were in distress. They needed investment. They needed a new look at things. They needed exploration. They needed development. They needed to expand the operations, but they needed time. I brought that to the table, and I was able to buy, you know, five really good mines and expand them over time. And we became the second largest silver producer in Mexico, you know, in our 10th year of operation. We're now just finishing our 12th year of operation, you know, we're likely to do somewhere between, you know, 18 and 20 million ounces of silver equivalent in 2016. And, you know, that's a pretty substantial number. But, you know, for us to go out and buy another company that is in distress, it just doesn't fit us today. You know, our balance sheet just isn't there. And we have to be very careful, because even though I'm positive about the metal and even though I think we've seen a bottom, we have to be very careful at the same time, because the damage has been done in this sector. So, you know, the Santa Elena or the Silvercrest acquisition was perfect. You know, there's a mine that was completely de-risked, didn't need a single penny of investment, and is spinning off, you know, $3, $4, $5 million a quarter at current metal prices. And there's just not too many mines out there. And all these other companies, I'm not going to name names, but there's a ton of other, these small producers with single mines that are really having a challenge right now. And, you know, for us to go in there and pick one of these up, it may make sense to your listeners, but it just simply doesn't make sense to us, because we'd have to go and turn around and spend $30, $40, $50 million in trying to improve their operations to bring their costs in line with the current environment. And we just can't do that right now.
Well, Keith, I'd have to agree with what you're saying. I mean, the sector does have a certain amount of challenge right now in it. And my guess is, given the fact, the financial condition of First Majestic, I mean, why would any sane person want to just take on trouble at this moment in time? I think you're showing a lot of fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders by taking the tack that you're taking.
Well, you know, I'm a significant shareholder, and, you know, dilution is important to me. I don't want to be, you know, getting in trouble and going to market, you know, because we made a stupid move. And, you know, buying assets is it's an art. And, you know, I'm a big believer in buying assets at the right time. And there's times to buy them and there's times not to buy them. And right now you've got to be extremely selective. And the Silvercrest Santa Elena acquisition just fit perfectly. But there's very few others that fit as well as that one does. So I wouldn't expect to see anything on the M&A front for First Majestic over the short term. You know, we are talking to some juniors, you know, that have exploration projects, you know, that, you know, they're up against the wall, they're running out of money, they've got taxes to pay, and we're looking at some, you know, fairly large land packages where we can go in there and scoop up some potentially interesting exploration properties. But, you know, those would be put in advance for the future and just, you know, tucked away. But I'm not sure if the market would really even give us any value if we did anything like that. But, you know, we are looking, because there is some value at the very small end of the sector.
Keith, it's always enjoyable chatting with you. Anybody out there who does not know First Majestic, go check them out as FR on the TSX or AG on the New York Stock Exchange. Also traded in Frankfurt under FMV. Keith, thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Does being over 40 make you feel like half the man you used to be? Do you feel more tired, out of shape, not in the mood like you used to be? Thanks to an exclusive formula, you can help boost testosterone levels safely and naturally. Introducing Ageless Male, a life-changing supplement for men tested to help increase testosterone levels.
You'll notice a boost in your energy levels. Workouts work, sex life improves. It's like a light switch goes on.
Try Ageless Male risk-free if you would like to experience what taking Ageless Male can feel like. Support for healthy, normal testosterone levels, healthy energy, and increased performance, and more romance when you want it.
Call 1-800-327-4821. That's 1-800-327-4821. 800-327-4821. 800-327-4821. That's 1-800-327-4821. The legendary Dr. Joel Wallach, heard on Alex Jones, George Norrie, Benny Hinn, and so many more, is on his 90 for Life tour, and you can see him live and in person Monday, October 26, 6:30 p.m. at the Unity Village, 1901 Northwest, Blue Parkway, Unity Village, Missouri. Don't miss this incredible event. Call 615-389-7733 to reserve your seats today. That's 615-389-7733.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Alrighty, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. We're chatting with Brian London. Brian, you've got one of the best investment conferences out there coming up very, very shortly, actually this coming week. Corey is going to be down there because of issues I have in terms of what's going on domestically here with some diseases, and I don't want to sound dramatic, but I'm going to stay home and be with my wife during that particular week, and I'm very sorry that I have to do that because you were gracious enough to invite us both down. But anyway, having said that, you know, family does kind of come first, and I know you realize that. I want to talk a little bit about your show, and the reason I want to talk about it is because I have attended a lot of shows over the years. I have spoken at a lot of shows over the years, what between New York, San Francisco, and then certainly all across Canada. And I have to say, no disrespect to anybody, but your speaker list is far ahead of anybody else who's out there. Having said that, I mean, you have world-renowned speakers. And if no other reason, I'm terribly unhappy about missing your conference because of some of the speakers you got coming up this year. Let's talk about each one, and let's talk about how many of them are repeats, Brian.
Yeah, you know, Al, that's one of the differentiating factors of the New Orleans conference is kind of the legacy that Jim Blanchard left me with this great event. Anyone who ever knew Jim knew that he did, you know, everything to excess. And the New Orleans conference was one of those things. And, you know, throughout our history, Lady Thatcher, Ayn Rand, Milton Friedman, Alan Greenspan, Barry Goldwater, you know, the list goes on and on and on, literally dozens and dozens of the really the giants of recent world history have graced our stage. So it's a bit of a burden, frankly, to try and live up to that. But it's also a lot of fun to invite the biggest names out there, whether it be in geopolitics or economics or the markets. And that's really one of the great pleasures I have in this job. We do have a number of crowd favorites, if you will, that come year after year. A number of the mainstays of the hard money movement who publish letters and commentary in that movement. And we have, you know, some of the more popular celebrity-type figures. This year we've got, from the geopolitical end, we've got Charles Krauthammer again, who's become a bit of a regular because our attendees just demand that we bring him back every year. Really brilliant, brilliant, personable guy. We have Mark Stein for the first time this year, who's another very insightful commentator and very humorous commentator, wonderful writer in my opinion. On the investment end, we've got Doug Cass, we've got Mark Faber, we've got James Rickards, we have Peter Schiff, we have Dennis Gartman, Doug Casey, Rick Rule, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And it literally is dozens long. And that's one of the key things about our conference is when the speakers from the main stage are all objective, independent presenters that deliver real value and real insights to our attendees, they're not going to get pitched at from the main stage. There's no commercial presentations from the main stage. And attendees have the freedom to go visit our valued exhibitors in breakout sessions. But from that main stage, we have just a value-packed agenda from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And it's value, frankly, you can't get anywhere else.
Now, Brian, one of the aspects that I really enjoy about the speakers at this show is that when you go to some of the other investment conferences that Al and I attend, they are very much, let's say, hard asset focused. And the New Orleans conference definitely has that sort of a bend as well with some of the sponsors and some of the speakers. But you do manage to mix in some geopolitical commentators and also just some more general fund and money managers that can give people a bit of a different outlook rather than just this raw gold aspect that you get from some of the other conferences that we go to. Can you explain a little bit as in how the, I guess, maybe overall theme of this show is going to play out?
Yeah, you know, the conference was started in 1974, right after Jim and some of his compatriots were able to change U.S. law to allow for private gold ownership again. So he decided to have the event to teach people how to invest in gold. So as you can imagine, throughout the 1970s, the focus of the event was gold, precious metals, mining stocks, etc. In the 1980s, we began to broaden that across all asset classes, and it's always had a emphasis on geopolitics as well and economics because everything flows from that, and not only gold and the mining stocks, but every asset class. So we've always focused on geopolitics and economics, and we have broadened our coverage to all of the asset classes. Now, this year, however, I look at the precious metals and the mining stocks and see that we're at an historic bottom, that really the longest lasting and most severe bear market we've had in the precious metals and mining stocks. And what's typically happened in similar situations is attendees at the New Orleans conference during these periods, like right where we are right now, have discovered investments that have subsequently multiplied in price, some 10, 20 times over. So I really think we're facing that kind of an opportunity right now. And I have focused this year's agenda on the experts that can provide those kinds of insights and specific investment recommendations.
You know, I want to tell you, the way your conference has evolved is really, really interesting. And I got to tell you, man, you know, I've learned a lot from you. And the reason I say that is when Kath and I had dinner with you and your wife down in New Orleans a number of years ago, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, we were talking about at that great restaurant, Commander's Palace, we were talking about, among other things, the relationship between geopolitical events and the price of gold and the stock market, et cetera, and that's obviously, you know, when you're having people like Krautheimer there, by the way, I highly recommend his book, which I have read a few months ago. When you have people like him, when you have people like Mark Faber, people like that, it's really interesting because I think you're going to get discussion, get presentations on the importance of geopolitical events. It's not it isn't just about one particular commodity itself, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're into sound bites only, you're really not meant for the New Orleans Conference. What we provide is really in-depth analysis, detailed strategies, specific investment recommendations. It's for people who are information hungry and who want to chart their own course through the markets.
Now, Brian, what about some of the companies that are going to be there? Can you give us a general idea of approximately how many you're expecting and the range, the variety of the companies that will be there?
Absolutely. We'll have about 65 booths this year. We still have the majority, I would say, would be resource-oriented, not only gold and silver, but most of the base metals, and uranium is well represented this year. But we also have really two separate trends that we're seeing develop. One is in technology. We're getting more small cap technology plays that have a lot of upside potential, and also other tangible asset type investments. Real estate, what's called, you know, Plan B real estate, where people can find homes in other countries that can serve as vacation homes, but also kind of a escape plan, if you were, if they really wanted to get out of the country for some reason. And forestry, we have a couple of companies offering forestry investments, which I've found to be very, very interesting. And I've aggressively tried to bring those companies to the conference because I do think they offer very real opportunities for people who are trying to diversify in other tangible assets.
Well, in diversifying to other tangible assets, I think particularly in a market like we're in right now, is absolutely critical. You know, when you talk about forestry companies, I mean, I kind of view forestry as being about as important because it really is kind of in the same category, in a sense, you know, as energy. I mean, you want to be diversified in the markets today if you want to basically provide yourself some real security. And I think the best way to provide that security is to be diversified. Forestry products, certainly energy, I think, in spite of the fact that energy is somewhat out of favor right now. I think that's going to change rapidly. You know, and you've always got the precious metals, which are very, very important, as are base metals. You know, Brian, we've got to wrap this thing up right now. I just want to say I'm very sorry I will not be able to attend the conference. And I want to say, you know, I don't recommend a lot of things on this show. And I always couch everything by saying this is not investment advice. Well, let me tell you, if you are in any way, shape, or form able to attend the conference in New Orleans, it is, for anyone who's interested in this industry, it is a must-attend event. Brian, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure here, too, Al.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I'm the president of the largest private news and research network in the world. And I paid for this airtime because I have an important message to the American people. There's a change coming that the government isn't telling you about. This change has deep implications for life in America. From where you shop, to the doctors you visit and the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. Thing is, I was right then too. A few years ago, I warned that housing prices would collapse. They did. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash. They did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all.
You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
Do you lay awake at night and worry about the health and safety of you and your loved ones? Do you wonder what would happen if you weren't able to get to a hospital or doctor? How can you keep your family safe against the deadly pathogens that are beginning to emerge in the world today? Give yourself peace of mind with Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver is turning heads around the world as a new weapon in the fight against bacteria, viruses, and fungus. Supernatural Silver can be taken internally or used topically to help the body's own immune system fight off disease much more effectively. Supernatural Silver has been tested at independent universities and laboratories around the world and has been proven to be safe and highly effective against some of the planet's deadliest pathogens. There is no better product to have in your home for daily use or emergency preparedness. Go to supernaturalsilver.com, use the code SILVER2015 for 20% off, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.